Lord, saints.
Hallelujah.
Amen. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to ask that you turn once again to the fifth chapter of James. The fifth chapter of James. And I'm going to start at verse 9 today. Verse 9. Fifth chapter of James. Start from verse 9, and I'm going to read to 11. It says, "Do not complain, brethren, against one another, so that you yourselves may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing right at the door. As an example, brethren, of suffering and patience, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. We count those blessed who endured. You have heard of the endurance of Job, and have seen the outcome of the Lord's dealings, that the Lord is full of compassion and is merciful." Amen. If you will, join with me in a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you. We thank you on today, Father, and we just ask, Lord, that we hear from you. We are in great anticipation, Father, with great anticipation, Lord. We are expecting to hear from you on today, Father. So I ask that you will bless us with your presence, and not only with your presence, Father, but with your word. Father, bless our hearts and minds also to receive. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Amen. Years ago, I was a young fella, and I was new to the church, and I had just got in church, and, you know, all the fellas, like it was Trace and Tracy, and Trace was named after Trace. But anyway, Tracy, it was Troy, Keith, Roy, all the fellas, they welcomed me in and everything else, and got to know them a little bit. Then they said, man, wait till you go to Northwest. And I was like, oh, really? They said, yeah, man. They got three sisters there. Man, they fine, man. I said, oh, really? Yeah, man. So I went to Northwest, and I was like, okay, I'll go, no problem. Went to Northwest. And then, they looked at me when they saw that I saw the sisters, and I was like, dog. You had Tony looking like Dorothy Dandridge, and you had Karen looking like Felicia Rashad, and Deborah looking like Janet Jackson. I was like, dog. I said, okay, yeah, they cute. And then all of a sudden, time goes on, and I get to know them, and Karen's a real nice gal. And I wish, the next part I could say to you all that, that I, dabbed up and threw some cologne on and brushed my eyebrows and said something real cool to Karen and said, hey, what's up? But that's not how it went. I was sitting back where Kelsey was at in the church. And y'all think Karen is a little passive and everything, but not that day. Karen came in, and Karen walked in there, and she saw me sitting right there, and she said, here's my number. Yeah, she said, here's my number. And then when she gave me her number, that's when I got cool. I was like, all right. And I say that because on Monday it'll be 35 years. Right? 35 years. Yeah. I wish I could do like that, sing you that song on Coming to America. She's my queen. We'll go to Pizza Hut. That was our hangout. That was our hangout, Pizza Hut. But nah, 35 years. It was. It's amazing how time goes by. But getting to the text, though, let's get to the text. Starting from the ninth verse. The ninth verse reads, "Do not complain, brethren, against one another, so that you yourselves may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing right at the door." We told you last week, and I'll just kind of like go over it a bit again, just to make sure I put emphasis on it. James doesn't pull punches throughout this book. He tries to tell you right off the bat, you know, if you are living a Christian life, and if you want to know, then here are the tests that you can apply to show that your life is in accordance to a Christian life. Whereas 1 John will answer the question, are you assured that you are a believer? Because some people, for some reason, some Christians get into this bind where they question their salvation and they need assurance. Well, go to 1 John if you ever question your salvation. Like one of the questions there that he asks you right off the bat is, do you love the brethren like you're supposed to? If you do, then that shows you, if you are doubting your belief, then that shows you that you, hey, you're on the right track if you're loving your brothers and your sisters like you're supposed to. Amen? But James here is saying, hey, are you living a life in accordance to what your mouth is saying? Right? What your mouth is saying. Because sometimes you can live totally different than what your speech conveys. Amen? So he's saying you need to have a faith that's not dead, but a faith that is alive and working. Amen? That's why I told you all last week, I said, hey, if we did this checkup, let's check your appetite. Do you have an appetite for the Word of God? If you don't have an appetite for the Word of God, then, you know, it's kind of questionable if you are going to be living a life for Him. Amen? It's going to be questionable. Then I said, what about your hands? Are your hands busy building up the kingdom of the Lord? Are your hands busy not building your kingdom, but building God's kingdom? Amen. Said, what about your mouth? You know, some people just like to just throw out everything, just blab out everything. But are you, your message, the message that is conveyed from your mouth, Is it in line with what the Lord wants you to say and the message that the Lord wants you to give out there? Is it in line with Him? And then I said, what about your feet? Are your feet going where He wants you to go? Is it going to places you want to go? And let's say you don't even go. Are you at least standing for Him when you have those moments where you need to stand for Him? Are you standing for Him?
Yes, sir.
Do people know what you stand for? Or are you cowering back? Or are you standing for Him? That's why I said, you know, that hand, foot, mouth disease, yeah. Church has an issue with their hands, with their feet, and their mouth. And this is what James is saying. And James is saying that we need to have a patience that needs to be established. Because you need to be an established person if you're going to stand for the Lord. Those roots need to be, like, deep in. You need to know that you know if you're going to give a message and stand by it. And then you need to have a patience that can endure, right? A patience that can endure. It can weather the storms. You know, you're not shifting. You're not going back and forth. You're standing, once again, because you're established, and therefore you can endure. And of course, that message that you do give, it needs to be endorsed by God. Just like we talked about this morning, Jeremiah didn't go out there talking about Jeremiah stuff. He went out there talking about God's stuff, right? God's stuff. And I told you last week as well, Just like other expositors or other theologians, we defined patience as bearing affliction without complaint and injuries without revenge. Bearing affliction without complaint and injuries without revenge. So then we go into verse 9 and it says, do not complain, brethren, against one another, so that you yourselves may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing right at the door. Right at the door. What a great, great verse here. And it reminded me of an Instant Pot that Kayla brought. Kayla brought this thing called an Instant Pot. I've never heard of it until she bought it. She bought it and she said, this is how I'm going to prepare my meals. And so I just checked her out and I watched her as she used this thing and she cut up her vegetables. And once she cut up her vegetables, she threw them in this pot. And then all of a sudden she chopped up her chicken and then she threw it in there, everything raw. And she just threw it in there. And then all of a sudden she ended up putting her seasonings in it and some broth. And then she put the top of this thing on. And then when she put the top of this thing on, it was all steel. You know, it had some plastic stuff on the outside, but it was steel. And then she had to twist it closed. And then all of a sudden, this thing made her meal within like 8-9 minutes because it was pressurized. And on the on the back of it, it had this, on the back of the lid, it had this valve where you just flick it or push it up or do something. And then right before you open it, all of a sudden it's like, and it released all this steam. To me, it's an intimidating appliance to deal with. I don't mess with that type of stuff. It might blow up on me or something. That's the thing I'm thinking. I'm like, man, are you sure you want to do this? She said, yeah, and you just do this. And I was like, man, no, because it just seems like a bomb waiting to explode. That's what it seemed like. But to eat something that would usually, be about 40 minutes or so in 8 minutes, that's interesting. But I still don't want to mess with that thing. I still don't want to mess with that thing. And I'm saying this about this Instant Pot because that word complain, that's exactly what you need to keep in mind when you see this word complain. Because this word complain is talking about an inward pressure that you have. And this inward pressure is deep within you. And it makes you want to complain. It comes up and it boils up because it's a tension that you have deep within. And it makes you grumble. And that word murmur, it comes from there. The Old Testament word murmur, it comes from this word as well, complain. Because murmur was just a way of expressing what the Israelites were doing to the Lord. They were murmuring. And murmuring is a play on the sound that they were doing to the Lord. You know how you have people that's not saying something, but they're saying something? Saying something, but not saying something, and they just can't keep it from within, and it just gotta come out. This is what this complaining is. This word complaining is something that not necessarily is telling you that it's something that is outward, but it's also inward as well. Because the root of it is so deep inside that it's got to come out. It's got to bubble out. And what's interesting is that Unfortunately, James is saying all of this verbiage and grumbling and tension and distress and groaning and all this other stuff that's coming deep down from within. Unfortunately, it's not targeted to folks outside of the church, but it's targeted to folks inside of the church. Do not complain, brethren, against one another. Watch that tongue. Remember he told you earlier to watch that tongue? Watch that tongue. Watch that tongue with each other. You're grumbling and outwardly and inwardly, you're all distressed and messed up with one another. Watch it, James is saying. And he's still saying, watch that tongue. Watch that tongue. And here's the unexpected twist to this verse, that last part. So that you yourselves may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing right at the door. Here's the unexpected twist, plot twist. The plot twist is that you think you're judging and you are setting someone in that seat so that they can be judged. But the twist is that every time you take that position, you're actually putting yourself in that seat to be judged by God. See, although you think you are in the position to judge, you're really running an okey-doke on yourself. And you are in that seat being prepared to be judged by God, because what you've done is you said, when you judge, you said, I'm going to do this. Although you may not be thinking this in your mind, this is the type of thing that goes on when folks judge. And that is, I'm qualified enough to judge you. I'm qualified enough to judge this situation. I know all the ins and outs. I know motives. Yeah, I know your motives. No, I can't see them, but I know them. I know your intentions. I know your intentions. Yeah, I know them. No, I can't see them. No, you didn't tell me, but I know them. And I'm qualified to do this. I got all the credentials. I got all the credentials to do this. No problem. Yes, when I judge you, yes, I am going to sit you down and I'm going to give you a just verdict because I know it all. That's what you're saying. You put yourself in a position of the all-knowing God to judge someone. To judge someone in that way. And that's what you're doing. And that's what we do. And it's so interesting that people are so quick in the church to turn into Wreck-It Ralph. That's all they do. They go around and they just wreck it. They're so reckless. They're reckless with their speech. They're reckless with their behavior. But it's not only in the church. It's not only in the church. The question that I wrote down to ask today is, saints, why is it so easy to talk any kind of way to folks that love you the most? Why is it so easy to talk sideways and treat them so badly? You can treat them, those who love you the most. Think about it. The ones that love you the most in the church, you can just quickly just talk to them sideways. But it doesn't stop at the church. Go to your home. And it's supposed to be a place of peace and everything else, but yet you're quick to snap on the folks in your home. And you don't snap on them like you snap on folks elsewhere. You're quick to snap on them. Maybe it's something inside where it says, well, because they love me, I can get away with this. I don't know what the rationale is, but I know you're going to get it. You just cross me. And I'm going to talk to you like I wouldn't talk to anybody else. But I'm going to talk to you here. And best friends. Oh, man. Best friends. I can snap on them too real quick. Why? Because you're supposed to know me. You can take this. You my buddy. You're okay. Not for long. Not for long. But this is how folks do. They're quick to snap on folks that love them the most. That love them the most. And this is the same situation that was going on here in James' time. They were just snapping on each other. And James says, stop it. Stop it. See, the situation was, is that, see, they all were suffering. Just like I said, going back to Elder Julian's a sermon a few weeks ago, the rich people were torturing them, so to speak, or oppressing them, or persecuting them. And everybody was getting it. But some were getting it more than others. And when you got some folks that you look at and you say, huh, they're suffering less than I am, then all of a sudden, you doing that comparison game, and when you begin to compare, then all of a sudden that leads to the grumbling and the distress and the complaining and that deep-seatedness inside where you are chopping their head off because they are not getting it like you getting it. And the truth is that when you are suffering this much, it feels like this much. And in your head, you got the troubles of Job. And the truth is that they may be going through way more than you are. But because, like I said, because you're the judge and you know everything and you think you know their situation, they could be going through double what you're going through. But no. You know everything. Now, you know they're not suffering like you. But then all of a sudden, when God just reveals to you and just you have a conversation with them, and then when you have a conversation with them, you say, man, I didn't know all that was going on with them. I'm glad I got my cross. I'm glad I got my cross. Because that's how God does it. He just have you go into a quick conversation with someone, and then all of a sudden they tell you what's going on with them, and you're happy that you got your troubles. You're happy you got your troubles. Don't be so quick to judge. Don't be so quick to judge. How can it go in a home? Well, it can go even in a home, like I told you. Go down in a home. You think you know it all. You think you know the intent, the motives, and everything of everybody. Why didn't you buy my deodorant? I mean, you had the list in your phone. And you picked up everything but my deodorant. Oh, I see you got yours. Yeah. Oh, and you got your snack. Oh, you made sure you picked up your favorite snack. But what's up with my deodorant? Talking about deodorant. Okay, why y'all having trouble? Because he can't remember the deodorants. You see what I'm saying? He or she could have been going down the aisle and all of a sudden a phone call distracted them or one of the kids got loose or something. And they forgot the deodorant. But no, you know it all. Uh-uh, no, you meant to do this. The devil's in you. The devil's in you. That's why you forgot my deodorant. You want this. You see what I'm saying? Be careful about this judging thing. Be careful about this thing where you're attacking one another. And just this unneeded pressure that is building up. Not only inside the church, but outside the church as well. Be careful with that. Be careful with that. And then James goes on and he says, you know, let me give you an example. Example is in the 10th verse. As an example, brethren, of suffering and patience, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Who spoke in the name of the Lord. Once again, just like I said this morning, Jeremiah was about God's message. Jeremiah didn't stop and all of a sudden say, Israel, the Lord, or Judah, the Lord is going to get you. And the reason why you're going to go into captivity is because you forgot my deodorant. That's right, you forgot my deodorant. I know it's a ridiculous thing, but the point that I'm saying is that he wasn't focused on him. He wasn't focused on his needs and his message. It was about God's message. And if we can focus on God's agenda in the church rather than our own, man, what a church. And if we can focus on God's agenda for our families rather than our own, man, what a family and what a marriage. If you can focus on God's agenda and not your own, and not your own. And this is what he was saying, because when you look at the prophets were all about speaking what thus saith the Lord. The false prophets this morning, they had a message for you. And their message definitely lined their pockets and definitely put them in great position with the kings, because they were just sycophants. They were just people that were around saying what the king wanted to hear, because it helped them out. It helped them out. Then he goes on in the 11th verse, real quick. 11th verse, he says this. We count those blessed who endure. You have heard of the endurance of Job and have seen the outcome of the Lord's dealings, that the Lord is full of compassion and is merciful. So, he gives us the prophets as an example and tells you that through that example, he's telling you that you got to have a message that is endorsed. Can't be endorsed by you in terms of your message and your agenda. It's got to be God's agenda. That's the patience that he's talking about. Patience enough to endure that endorsed message that you're giving. Endure the hardship, endure the consequences, so to speak, of that message that you should be giving. Keep giving it. Don't change it. Keep doing it. Keep living for the Lord. Keep talking for the Lord. Keep giving that message that the Lord wants you to give. But then he also, in this next verse, gives us an example of Job. And he says, you have heard of the endurance of Job and have seen the outcome of the Lord's dealings. You know, there's a popular saying, and I hate to, like, crumble what you may have been saying for years, but that old saying, the patience of Job,
No.
No. No. See, all of a sudden, what he was saying up until this 11th verse, he was saying that you have to be long-suffering. Long-suffering has to do with people. With people. Long-suffering. With people. With people that's quick to get on your nerves. You have to be long suffering. Not chop their heads off so quick. Not jump on them so quickly verbally. But you got to be long suffering. You know, I had an uncle, one of my uncles, Charles. He didn't, and he was like my hero. He didn't move quick for anybody. Didn't talk quick either. And by me trying to be like him, all of a sudden people thought I had long suffering. I had that down pat. I didn't have that down pat. I was just trying to be cool like my uncle. But he was like long suffering when it comes to the actual act of it and showing me how that it was done. Because it took him a minute to even answer some things. And I remember being in a situation, like I told you all before, I remember being in a situation with Karen's folks, and it takes me a minute to answer things. And so we were just around, I think we were at a bowling alley or something like that, and they asked me a question. And then I took so long to answer it that they were going up to Karen saying, is he okay? Karen just said, no, he doesn't talk quick. And then I found out later on they I can't say a word for it because Kelsey, the counselor, will get on me. So I don't know the proper word to say, so I won't say it. But they thought I was, y'all know. So the point is, though, is that you got to be long-suffering. And it would be cool if folks think you're kind of, you know, because it takes you that long to just, like, yeah, the process, thank you, process. Yeah, there it is, thank you. Process, right? That's exactly it. And it takes you a minute to process and get it so you can answer in a way that will glorify God, right? That will glorify God. But Job, if you read Job carefully, you'll see that Job wasn't like patient in the sense of long suffering. He was patient in a sense of his circumstances. His patience in the sense of his circumstances. But long-suffering, now there are verses that will show you, even like kind of, you know, God, what's up with you? And at the end, God had to say, were you there when I made space and all the planets and everything? Were you there? And it goes back to us. You want to judge? Were you there when I made the earth and everything else? Were you there when I made this person that you're trying to judge? Were you there? Were you there when I shaped their personality? Huh? Were you there when I gave them the temperament that they have. You want to judge their motives and you want to judge their intentions. Were you there making those things with me? I think he can answer himself and he can say, nope, you weren't. No, you weren't. So be careful in your judging. And this is what he said. And then he's saying here that, yes, the folks that are giving us the blues are those who are persecuting us. Back in this day, it was the rich people. But today, it could be a number of people. You know, it's tough going to employment or going to events. And when you are identified as a Christian, all of a sudden you ain't got to say nothing. And you're hated. Or you're disliked. Because it's preconceived what you might be and where you might think, and then all of a sudden, you're not liked. I've been in situations where I don't even have to open my mouth and I'm not liked. That's how it is, and that's how it's going, and that's the trend. That's the trend now. But will we, in response, should I go into places and like I'm like breaking into a place and busting doors down and saying, oh, you don't like me? What? What you want to do then? Is that a Christian way to do things? No. No. Because the Lord is saying be long suffering. To those people, for people, be long-suffering. But in those situations, be patient. When you're talking about your circumstances, be patient. Why? Because the last part of that verse says that the endurance of Job, we've seen the outcome of the Lord's dealing. That the Lord is full of compassion and is merciful. The Lord gave us that example of Job. Job, he went through all of those things, and he had horrible situations. But in the end, God gave him double. God blessed him double. God gave him, in the beginning he had camel, and then all of a sudden he had camel. He had cattle, then he had cattle. He had kids, he had kids. The Lord blessed him. And the Lord is saying here, yeah, your circumstances may be tough right now, but understand the end. In the end, this thing is almost like not fair because we already know we've won. You already know. It's just like what it said in John. Eyes have not seen. Ears have not heard. We don't realize the things that the Lord has in store for those who love him. And that's where we're at right now. Yes, we may be in that dark moment. And yes, we may be going through trying times. However, this is not the end. And he's given us Job as an example to tell us this is not the end. Endure. Keep going on. Keep pushing forward. Keep marching on. Because in the end, there's a great reward for those who he can say, well done, my good and faithful servant. My good and faithful servant. So we're talking about a patience, once again, that will help you endure. A patience that will help you talk right and give out the right message. And a patience that is grounded and established in a heart that has deep roots
deep roots for God. Deep roots for God. Church, if you want to live right, and if you're serious about living a Christian life, you need to study this book of James. You want to be a Christian? You want to know how a Christian behaves outwardly? Read James. You want to know what a Christian should feel like inside? Read 1 John. And if you're not lining up with them, you can answer the question if you're a Christian or not. If you're really saved or not, you can answer that question just by reading those books. Am I saved? Okay, let me read 1 John. Am I acting like I'm saved? Let me read James. Let me read James. I don't have to come up here saying, you ain't saved. And you ain't saved. And you ain't. I don't have to come up here doing that. I can give you the homework. You can go back home and check out yourself. Examine yourself. And I'll end it there. And as always, this is serious business. There are folks that are acting like they got all the time in the world. And the truth is, it's just like that judgment when you're thinking you know everything. You don't even know when you are going to die. You don't know. Young and old are dying. And then when you die, that's not the end. Don't think it's just that's it and it's over. That's not the end. Because when you die, you're going to have to face your Creator. You're going to have to face your Creator. There's no avoiding it. And as I stated before, and I'll say it again, there'll be no place to run, and there'll be no place to hide. You'll be suspended in space. And you will be right there before the Lord, and He will ask you, what did you do with Jesus? Did you accept Him as your Lord and your Savior? Or did you say, I ain't got time for that. I don't have time for that. I want to live my life. I want to go out there and have my fun. I want to do what I want to do and everything. And that Christian stuff. I ain't got time for that. I don't want that boring stuff. Nah. He's either going to say, enter. Or is he going to say, depart. Enter or depart. This is serious business. And I pray that you will not leave here today unless you decide that you want to have Him, make Him your Lord and your Savior. Lord and your Savior, choose ye this day. Don't delay. Don't delay. Don't delay. I pray that you come. You know, they say that the pulpit up here is where ministers, imagine ministers being on their knees begging you to come. That's what we're doing. Week by week, we're begging you. Begging you to come. And that's what we're doing today. Saying, come. After service, we'll have elders here available to talk to you, to counsel you, to explain it even further. Amen. God bless you all. Hand it over to Elder Mac.